Okay, well, Kim is supposed to be here, but I'm sure she'll join us here shortly. So let's go ahead and get started with the roll call. Katrina Bowles.
Here.
Greg Coffin.
Here.
John Conway.
Here.
Cody Darr.
Here.
I'm Tracy Grieber-Rice. I'm here. Tony Grove.
Here.
Jen Hedrick.
Here.
Kimberly Krause is not currently here. And Bill Whitekemper.
Here.
Thank you very much. We need to approve our agenda for this evening, so if you could look it over and let me know if you'd like to make any additions or corrections. And if not, if I could get a motion.
Motion to approve the agenda for the July the 12th, 2016 meeting.
I second.
Thank you. Approve?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, and we do have minutes to approve for this evening. There's Kim. All right, thank you. From our July 6th meeting last Wednesday, and I only have a couple of comments on it. One is I would like to change the word just at the end of the meeting. I think we'll just be able to open it then. Change the word guest to public and add Pat Fowler.
Yeah. Yes. And Mr. Glasscock was here also.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Any other comments, corrections, or additions?
On page 3, second paragraph, under Sanborn Field. Under Sanborn Field, or Hill.
Oh, Field. Yes.
And then I commented that John Clark made 3 comments during the meeting.
Made 3 comments.
Or commented 3 times.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a... on page 2, up there at the top on that last sentence there, we say the task force discussed the remaining recommendations, noting that the purpose is to establish consistency, speed, and fairness. Speed, is that?
I didn't remember that either.
Speed.
Is speed maybe, I think we were talking about the pace at which things move through. Is that right? Would that be a better word than...
accuracy.
I'm sorry?
Accuracy.
Accuracy.
Pace. That'll be fine.
Pace.
Let's see, and on the first page, 2 down at the bottom there, the task force moves to page 6 to the recommendation of regarding the loss of revenue when Get About Columbia is dissolved. Cody Darr stated that the planning and zoning suspended looking into this.
Okay. I think we were talking about the... isn't that specifically in regard to
infrastructure scorecard? I think is what I was
infrastructure scorecard. Yeah. Okay.
What I was talking about, the planning and zoning was, or planning department was, had suspended, or I wasn't sure exactly what they had done, but they looked into it, and I didn't know what the current status of the infrastructure scorecard was.
Okay, so why don't we change that to say? Cody stated that the Planning and Zoning Commission...
The Planning Department.
Oh, the Planning Department. Okay, the Planning Department.
They made a presentation to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Or it made a couple in work session.
Had presented a infrastructure scorecard, is that right?
I think that's the word they used. Yeah.
Okay. Scorecard to the PNZ Commission... and it's not that they suspended it, but we don't know the status of that right now.
Right,
okay. But we're unclear of current status.
And it said we tabled two of those things to the next meeting. We discussed them, didn't we? Did we also table them afterwards? Obviously, we're not done talking about either C or D, 4C and 4D.
Rather than the word table, okay, maybe
we could
carried
just say
over.
Discussed and then tabled.
Discussed and carried over to next meeting.
I don't know, I know what the point is to try to pick random thoughts from each of the discussions out, but I felt like we did discuss each of those.
C more than D, for sure.
I think we went through Bill's list of four recommendations mm-hmm. for development fees.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
On page 3, second paragraph, said David Sorrell gave a update. I think he gave a preliminary report. He said he'd have a more detailed report when he had time.
I can give you my notes on this too.
Okay, then. Sure. Okay.
All right. Anything else on this one? Okay. So, with these recommended changes, can we have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve as amended.
As amended. Okay.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay. There we go. All right. So, we can move on to the sewer recommendation work. Oh, one more just item of business. Tonight we have, and I apologize, I'm terrible with
Jenny,
mm-hmm. okay, here with us from
Water and Light,
and the city has decided that they will send someone to help with minutes taking. So it's either going to be Jenny or Chris.
A rotation
mm-hmm. of folks. So based on that, they've asked that we try and confirm meeting dates out a little bit farther so that they can plan the rotation. So I believe that we've got one scheduled next week on the 19th. And I think we also talked about the 26th.
Yep.
Okay. Can we talk about our August dates, please? We'd prioritized these a couple meetings ago. I currently have the 2nd, the 9th, the 17th, so those are two Tuesdays, then the 17th and 24th, which are Wednesdays, and the 30th of August, which is a Tuesday, and that one we are all available for. Are we still good with those?
Yes. What was the last one, 30?
Yeah, 8:30. But if I could take that back. All right. If something happens and we decide to do something different, I think as long as we've got a couple weeks' notice, we can probably work with that.
Have we defined when we're going to do the Water and Light presentation on the electric presentation?
That's next week, right? The 19th.
Next week. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't want to miss that. I'm going to go on the 2nd and the 9th, but I don't want to miss Ted's presentation.
Yep.
appoint me, he'd be right in. Yeah, and I don't want to miss it either.
I'm not coming out.
Is the slash meeting being recorded, Tracy?
It'd be electrifying.
Are we being recorded? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And just as a very slight aside, I've got to say that, our phone recordings were of excellent quality.
Excellent.
Who knew that that would work? All right. So, in terms of the sewer recommendations to work on tonight, I've got an update of, Katrina's that we discussed from last week, and
excuse me.
Greg brought some updates also based on our conversation last week.
Do you want me to circulate those now?
Yes, please. And just to clarify, I'm working from, make sure we're all on the same page, a draft, Mayor's Task Force on Infrastructure Draft Sewer Narrative. It's page there, it's 10 pages, and it has this header on the top of it. And I've been comparing it to this version, which, Cody, I think this is the one you gave me. Is that right?
A sewer one? Oh, the streets, or sewer.
Sewer. Is that yours?
No. Collective effort.
A collective effort. Okay.
Oh, the storm sewer.
Storm sewer that we had.
Or no. That
not sewer. Sewer utility. So maybe this is just the earliest iteration and the one labeled page 1 through 10 is the most recent one. Just so we're all on the same.
Are you talking about the one Bill did? The one Bill prepared?
Bill is sent the one that I've received very most recently. I think I got this in mid-June. Is that
I don't
right?
have a date on mine. The one that I have. But I didn't prepare
okay.
The sewer. This.
Yeah.
There's the day. June 29th. That's the one I have.
Okay.
Is that the one you have?
So did you pull a look at the storm sewer one? Because I think that's the first one we did. And the question is, do we want to keep the same format? Or do we need to talk about format? Because the street narrative is a lot different in format than the
well, sewer. In my notes from last week, a couple of format changes we talked about are dividing for each utility, pulling out the general recommendations that mm-hmm. we've been noting as we went, and then organizing the bullets by ones related to operational issues and ones related to...
we had finance and policy
finance
separated
and policy.
From operational recommendations
right.
in the storm sewer.
In the storm sewer one. Okay. So I think that was... we just determined that last week, right? Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then this week we discussed too that we would create exactly separate
right. each one. Yeah. You know, that's probably worth putting in our revision of the minutes. Is that can we do that and reapprove that just so we've got that documented in the process?
I'm sorry, what are we adding? Revising?
Since
we just added to today's, I mean it's
yeah, okay, that works out fine. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think the discussion from last week was to do an executive summary that had the most mm-hmm. key recommendations, maybe not all the recommendations,
right.
the most key recommendations oh. in the executive summary.
Yeah.
If it's something was less of concern, it could be in the body of the report.
Right. Mm-hmm. So part of what we can do as we work through the sewer narrative is to code these by finance policy or operational. That would be helpful.
Yeah, if we get for the sewer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if we could focus on the potential recommendations that start on page 3, I think at some point we'll want to look at the sort of introductory language, but it's pretty tight.
So this is the sewer narrative that Bill prepared, I assume, June 29th, that
yeah.
we're looking at.
Is that right. one posted?
And did that get sent saying, out to that? Everybody? I don't think it got sent out to everybody.
I don't have that in my email.
I'm just looking in my email.
Bill sent it to me directly.
I sent it to John.
Yeah. And I got it.
Greg together.
Yeah. You sent it to me? Maybe I do. I'll look and see.
On 6/29?
6/29, but I don't have it either.
Uh-uh. I don't think it ever got sent out posted.
June 29th, I think.
That's the date of the document.
So we're getting sent after that.
Yeah, I got it.
What day was it you got it?
I got it on the 30th. So 29th. You sent it at 11:04 p.m. on the 29th. Couldn't sleep that night.
You're up late, huh?
I'll never sleep.
Okay. Yeah, I remember scanning through this.
So, do people without the 6/29 version have the earlier one?
I should have sent everybody.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Sorry about that.
You do? Okay.
Do you have one?
I've got Bill's.
No. Okay.
Do you have it, Katrina?
I have no idea what version I have.
Okay. Does it...
I have a version.
Is it page numbered?
No, because... Okay. It's okay.
Yeah, mine is, it's dated June 29th. It's
it says June 29th.
So they'll get all formatted.
At the very, very end. Yeah.
Get me to send it to you.
You have it formatted with page numbers and dates.
Yeah.
This one says the 29th, though.
Can somebody who's got it send it to, yeah, thank you.
Who do you want it sent to?
Just if you've got an email that has everybody on it.
Are we allowed to do that?
Nobody respond.
You can send it and you can't respond.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble.
Glad it's you, not me.
No, hold on just a second. And I'll
That's
just
why
send
I don't
it.
Bring my computer.
Very you can send it to Jenny and she can send it.
I nope. This is perfectly fine. Let's
see. You're just gonna email it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't because I don't have it.
It's. I guess I don't need Mike Mathis nor Chris nor Aaron, David, Brian. I don't have a bad one to respond to. John. You want me to send it to you, John?
No.
Wrong John.
Oh, Mr. Glasscock.
He's on my list. Okay, that's everybody.
Cool.
Thank you. All right. Oh, gosh. It's weird. It doesn't make me patient. Okay, well, while that's going out, can we look at Katrina's updated recommendation as well as Greg's info?
So I edited based on comments the first two recommendations, the first one being the one about the backflow prevention device. And then it was simplified by Bill Whitecomber. Thank you. Does anybody have any comments about it?
The first one?
The first one, yeah.
Oh, so Katrina, what we do as you move into FY17, what you're asking is that they take care of the backlog or the ones that are on the books now or the ones that are known now?
Yes, and then any future call-ins.
I think it would be precipitated by an owner calling in to get this. I don't owner think they have a list. It's just...
They do
to
have
be,
a list.
Not a list for this program. They have a list of people who have documented problems. So to be eligible to get this funding, you would have to be on that documented problems or they would get first priority. But I don't think, I mean, it's not, it's just a, it was just a council report. It wasn't any, I don't think people have called in and requested to be on the this backflow prevention device program. Is there? Anyway.
There's not a program yet.
Yeah, there's not a program yet, so. I think the list you're referring to is the documented, people that have documented backup flows.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking just at the backflow prevention, or are you looking at other mechanisms?
Well, it would be in reference to his, the document he sent us,
broad.
And there were three options
okay, it's
in
a broad
there.
Description.
So yeah,
not
yeah
more,
so that
okay.
the homeowner could decide which they would choose.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of it'll depend on their ability to pay. I mean, if a grinder pump, the way to go, but not everybody can afford that, even
right.
with the city's help. But
right.
should we either list that then or not specify that flow prevention device so that...
I just used the same wording that,
Dave
did, and he called it the sanitary sewer backflow prevention device program. So.
Oh, did he? Okay. And council never did anything with that or what? This was dated 2014.
Was that presented to council?
What happened?
It was presented. They took no action.
So basically, we're asking them to take action on what was presented to them.
The only thing I see that would just be a wording thing is you say fully fund the program per the report. But the report just had an arbitrary $200,000 in the first come first serve for the first year, and then the next year they would continue it if it worked. So fully fund, I guess you just mean fund per Dave Sorrell's or this report's recommendations,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is fully funding. But fully fund means it almost sounds like everybody who asks gets it or something like that.
I'd always drop the word fully to say fund.
Yeah, just
fund this program through the city's utility operating budget.
So
per the report.
When does city's FY17 start? Did it start July 1?
October 1st.
October 1? So, is that budget already done?
No, it goes to council publicly the first meeting in August.
In August, okay.
I like this recommendation, though. Mm-hmm. I would be supportive of this recommendation.
So, and we think this is an operational recommendation, or which category would it fall under?
What's guess financial implication? Impact, so it is a financial recommendation in my mind. Because it incurs a pretty significant cost, although it's somewhat operational.
Can I say one thing with this? We've dealt with this some on like sidewalks downtown and stuff like this. If the city or whatever municipality or whoever be it is given money, then I think it requires to get three separate bids, and then it has to be bid out as prevailing wage. Cody, can you speak?
Yeah, I think that's... it's similar to the sidewalk.
And if you do that, and say if you're going to pay for something privately, and it's a $5,000 project, and then you have to go out and collect three bids from prevailing, and they have to be prevailing wage, suddenly a $5,000 project becomes either a $7,500 or a $10,000 project. Mm-hmm. And if they're paying for half of it or however much, you're literally getting... You're still starting from zero on the cost.
It should be more like the way they do the... air conditioner or the efficiency things.
If it works like that, I think that's an excellent idea. But
and you pay a flat number. You don't have to go get bid.
Yeah.
And I think that, and then it will work if that's the case. But if it works in the opposite way, then we're literally just grinding.
So for
our
grinder
gears.
Pump, it's this.
Right. And no matter what, yeah. And it doesn't, you know, then, you know, you go out and you hire your own private
right.
sector plumber, or you go whoever.
And then you submit the appropriate documentation. It's kind of a rebate.
It's, yeah, and that's a good terminology. Because if not, then you're literally just spending more money.
Yeah.
Because that happens all the time.
Got a question, Mr. Glasscock. Is there any way that this could be included with the reimbursement program that you got for sump pumps?
That's the way I would see it, Bill.
Yeah.
That's the way it would be done. We set a maximum amount up to that point, or half the cost.
You say add this to the list of things that goes yeah. with reimbursement?
That's the way I would see it.
What's that program called?
Reimbursement fund? What's it called?
It's our I&I program, okay. The disconnect illicit discharges.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, because it makes sense at that. Yeah, it makes sense at that point.
I agree.
Well, even with the I&I program, though, you still have to get three bids, or.
But three bids aren't bad as long as it's not, as long as it doesn't have to be bid out in a prevailing wage circumstance. As long as it's private sector work. So the plumber's working at $30 an hour, not 80 or 85.
What does that matter if you've set a specific amount on it, though?
I'm saying that the homeowner, because if you're getting a $5,000 help out from the city, but it's a $10,000 job instead of a $5,000 job, then it doesn't help anything.
What you want to make sure is that it's a rebate.
Correct.
As opposed to...
If it works the same way, like, the you know, an additional meter or however, you know, with HVAC and stuff like that, then it works.
Public entities have certain rules they have to follow.
Right. All you have to demonstrate is that would install.
If you get $5,000 for a $5,000 job, that's good. But if you get $5,000 for a $10,000 job where you still got to spend $5,000... It doesn't help. You're just spending $5,000 more than you need to.
Right. John, did you want to say
something? I don't think we require prevailing wage on the program Bill's talking about.
Do you not? Okay, good.
Check. But because it's the private property owner going out and getting the bids,
right.
doing the work, and then we're rebating whatever.
Yeah.
We just think it's got to show they got more than one bid.
Right. And, yeah, as long as that's how it works. Cause, yeah.
Well, and with the I&I program, you have a list of
approved contractors.
So this is not a situation where I become aware of this program, but I just had the work done last week, and I'm not eligible now because I didn't notify the city I was interested in the rebate, and I didn't get the two bids or whatever.
I think it's where you have to get the three bids up front.
You'd have to number one, have proof that you had blade problem or final problem, whatever it is. There would have to be proof of that of some type.
But it's not necessarily, you know, the neighbors were like, you know, I didn't even know, and now all of a sudden, you know.
If you got pictures of it or something like that where you can prove this stuff was happening to your house, we would be accommodating.
I'd almost make, you have to report it, in my mind, and then provide documentation to support your report.
But I mean, because I've got some neighbors that have had problems, and I was telling them some of the stuff we were doing on the task force, and of course they were interested. And they're going to have they've got stormwater issues too, so I think they're getting sump pumps put in. But if they do all of that, and then next year the council passes this, are they out of luck?
Yeah.
Because they didn't talk to the city.
There would be a definite cutoff date of it, for sure.
Yeah, so like the work I had done last summer.
Because you couldn't go back years and years.
No, but I mean like, you know, fiscal year 2017, but they didn't get bids up front or go through you all first.
So we had a staff to develop a program for us to review.
And I know Dave knows about the house because we've talked about it before.
I like that idea, Bill.
Get staff to develop a program for us to review.
Or a concept. Sense.
Yeah, at least at concept level, something detailed enough about what they take to council.
I'm sorry?
Motion requested.
Okay. Please. Can we have a motion to do that? That makes sense.
I'll state the motion.
I make a motion that staff develop a preliminary backflow device program for us to review.
I'll
I'll second that.
Okay. In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to sort of
Did we give him a date?
Do you want a date?
Yeah.
I know that...
Let us come back and tell you how long it's going
to
take.
Okay, that sounds great. I know that we wouldn't want to look at it until Bill comes back anyway.
Right.
So that's, at minimum
a couple
weeks.
So you've got a couple weeks.
Pretty long.
You don't say much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to table this recommendation until we take a look at that. All right.
Before we move on, I apologize. Is this going to be a thing where known problems will be notified this program is now being offered, or is it just, like I was saying, you just happen to find out and you're...
I was wondering about that, too. If you call in a backup, does whoever you're talking to notify you that there is this program in place?
Or you've been calling and
you
stop because
exactly,
there's no point in calling anymore,
in.
And now all of a sudden we have a,
Right.
I just don't want a bunch of angry people.
Well, I think this is really good feedback to help conceptualize the program. And
what do you mean? I've been calling since 1962. I quit calling because
right,
what's
exactly.
The point, you know?
How is the INI program for the sump pump system? I mean, how does that publicize? Is it on the website? If you go in and
it's an ordinance.
It's an ordinance.
It's an ordinance.
It's on the website.
But when the test run was done, they came to houses, at least in the test run area,
yes.
And told us about, that's how I knew about it. I was in the testing area.
When we found the, we went through and did smoke testing, and when we found the illicit discharges, we notified them, here's, you got to get rid of this, and here's a program that'll help you with it.
It probably would be helpful if that was part of the program.
So
the notification and advertisement, something more than just it's buried in an ordinance.
Well, I mean, the rebate program is pretty well, I mean, you can search it and find it pretty easy and for air conditioning improvements and things like that, so.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, something similar to that.
It's not like we're trying to line up people, we're just trying to help people with their problems and not trying to just fix all their plumbing problems. But.
Well, I would think most people who actually call in after the point at which this starts would be asking, you know, is the city going to take care of, we did, asking if the city would help us take care of the problem. But it's all the people in the past who've already called in, as Kim was saying, that stop calling in because it just keeps happening, that wouldn't know that the program is in existence. So I would think a notification piece of it would be reasonable.
Or at least clearly defined where people can get it, they can send somebody to the details, because over the phone, you might not be able to get all the details of the program.
Sure. Yeah, right.
Just to recommend them go to this website that has all the information. For example, we talked about last week, you could have a backflow that's not as a fault for the city. It could be your own system.
Right.
And they would not cover those expenses. So it's not like you have a backflow that's automatically covered.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that Mr. Sorrell talked about in that was that you would potentially have to prove that you weren't the cause of it. And that would be on the homeowner. So I would think that would be part of the
application. Yeah, the concept. Right. And if it were to be passed, I mean, your departments all have communications people, and there's a process to get the word out. This is the kind of thing the media would pick up on.
People have the problem.
We can help them.
Word will get out. Word of mouth probably pretty quick, I would think.
Yeah. All right.
But I think there is situations where, which Dave talked last week, is that you fix somebody's problem, then upstream somebody else has a problem, and they may not be aware.
Right. Well, they may not have called it in either.
Right.
I mean, yeah, that's just a reality.
Okay. All right. The second one?
The second one, I added just a little bit to it after our discussion about it being a two-part process. So I don't, if anybody has any suggestions about that, or the wording or whatever.
I think we mentioned last week that the lateral would be only that part of the lateral in the street right-of-way or sewer easement.
Up to the easement, yeah, I should probably add that. Yeah.
Is this similar to your recommendation 1C?
Yes.
So that, that consists of what, like the 25-foot setback?
Within the easement, 10 foot off
of the
curb. Or 16 foot, 8 foot on each side of the sanitary line, or fence?
Street driveway is generally 50 feet. 9 foot back of the curb. The street easement is 16 foot centered. Could be 8 foot.
Off the side of the street?
Well, for backyard easement.
All backyard easement.
Or side yard.
I think I'm reading through Bill's 1C right now. And he goes through his thought process and the justifications of why the city should assume responsibility for these laterals. And so I was thinking about just rolling this into Bill's 1C, but also, if I remember right, I'm paraphrasing Dave here, trying to go off my memory, there's two things he was looking at. One, which was fund the current rehab and rehabilitate, or the replace and rehabilitation, which is the $3 million, which the current bond issue is funding, which will expire, I can't remember exactly what year, but
19.
He wants to fully fund that or permanently fund that to continue this. And then the second part was look at adding laterals and providing additional funding for those lateral connection repairs and stuff. So it seemed like there was two recommendations that he was really, and Bill's kind of says, you know, he lines it out in his 1A, which is the fund the approximately $3 million annual sewer line replacement rehabilitation schedule. And then 1C is we need to add this laterals, which I tend to agree that it would be nice if the city would be responsible for that, since it is a significant part of the problem and they have resources to do that. But in order for them to take responsibility, they need to have it funded. So,
yeah, Dave is going to research some permits to see if you get an idea of how many laterals and connections are being repaired at the present time.
The other portion of that was, they do that on these rehabilitation projects when they go through, from what I understood. They are doing that when they go through there because it makes sense. They're going through and rehabbing the line to fix these taps. But if you just make it a blanket, every single individual connection, yeah, you could just spend as much manpower as they have on staff to just go out there and randomly do it. So they don't want to have that responsibility right now because they don't have the manpower or the funding for it. But they are doing it, it sounds like, as part of this rehabilitation. So that part of your statement was, you know, they could either start or wait until after the project is complete. I think we could take that part of the sentence out because I think we just need to focus on saying it needs to be their responsibility. And then the second part, how do we fund it?
Well, they're repairing the connection now. They're not lining it out.
Okay, well, maybe they...
Are you, John?
What?
Are you lining the laterals now?
No. It'd be with a project that the council approved. I mean, I don't think we're doing any on a, you know, request, but I know if it's part of a bigger project, we're doing some probably. We're repairing them. I don't know if we're lining them, we're repairing them.
Okay. So, Cody, I'm sorry, can you say, repeat again, just make sure I understand how 1A through C and Katrina's second paragraph merge?
Well, I'm thinking her first sentence is essentially the same as the justification and the recommendation in 1C. So that, I think, can be just removed and just we can just look at Bill's.
Okay.
And the second sentence is either starting existing rehabilitation projects or wait until the project's completed. I was a little confused with that, but I think what it means was we can tell them to start doing it now with their existing projects or after the project's completed. I think we just take that sentence out. And then the third sentence is about the funding of it, which we do need to address that, and we can add that into Phil's. I don't know. I haven't read the next page of Phil's. And maybe he goes on to say, did you go on to say about how you thought it should be funded? Or?
No.
So we do, and maybe just her sentence needs to be added to Bill's recommendation about if the council agrees that the sewer connection laterals should be the responsibility of the city, funding and implementation would need to be considered.
That'd have to go from rate. I mean, it's a rate-based utility, so it's not going to come from any other source of income.
So we would say, I guess,
it's going to fund it from rate, so it had to be a rate adjustment.
Right. Cost of service.
This is item A, which is which I drafted in little different terms. Don't put a specific $3 million amount. I said 1% of the total asset length. You know, like Dave Sherrill saying, 7 miles a year, roughly. Mm-hmm. That's evergreen. That's going to go on forever. Versus a $3 million, which may be not enough 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I think what I was trying to say in the second paragraph really was to say that this is a two-part project. The first part is to do the study to find out how much it would cost and then figure out whether or not it's a viable project. And then the second part would be, if it's decided it's a viable project, put together the program to actually do it. That's what I was trying to say with that. And my thought was that the first part of it maybe in theory could be done at the same time as they're doing the other project, depending on how big a piece that would be. I understood that, you know, being able to implement the program could not happen until after the current program is in place, is finished.
Yeah, I kind of see, just from a technical standpoint, that the connection would have the greatest impact at I&I. The lateral might, but, you know, that connection point, is that true? Do you typically see the failure right at the connection point?
Well, the connection is the lowest point on the lateral. So if you repair one lateral, the groundwater rises and comes into the next connection.
But is it the lateral that's bringing the water in because it's not in good condition, or is it the connection point into the main?
It's both.
But I think it's the connection.
So I mean, I can see where the city could take the ownership of the connections, and then the lateral going out is the homeowners.
But that's why
the homeowner could plant trees, they could put different structures on, and cause.
But that's why they wanted it to.
The easement,
which is essentially just the connection point a little bit
further. A few more feet beyond that.
Yeah, the problem is expecting the homeowner to fix something that's off his property in the street right away, or even across the street.
And that's why we're saying. Right. And can we agree that, from what we've heard, that it is true that this is a significant portion of I&I, significant enough? So in that case, do we go with Bill's? The city should assume responsibility for this, and we need to look for funding and say we need to increase rates based on this? Or do we go with Katrina's thought process, which is
we need to study this
and look at it, and then if we'd like it, then fund it? Because it looks it's a very subtle difference in our recommendation, but I think that's two a little bit different thoughts on how we should tell council what to do suggest.
The question is study a source of information.
I think we agree on that.
Well, I think your question is really, is it we want it to proceed now, or do we want to have it evaluated and decide later?
Well, it makes sense for the city? Because we're not questioning whether it is a significant cost or a significant problem, but does it make sense with the costs for the city to be responsible for that, or do we need to look at some other way to try to get those problems fixed?
Yeah.
Should we say yes, we don't need to look at the study, it needs to be the city? Or should we say, look at the cost and see if it makes sense?
David's been trying to tell us what it might cost by looking at permits,
repair
sewers in the street right away, and repair connections.
I can see Bill's situation. If the sewer's leaving my property,
is that going to be a thorough?
Why am I going to go dig up the street to go repair the tap connection? You know, unless it no longer.
I mean, I don't necessarily like it, but the point of sale inspection, where they would have to fix it, would sort of address that, where it would be on the property owner to fix it, regardless. If they liked it or not.
It's not a very popular thing to.
Yeah, I tend to not really like that 1B where you say the point of sale inspection. So I kind of tend to want to say it should be the city's.
Some pumps and things off the right of way.
I mean, there's so many other things you get inspected when you're buying a house and you have to fix. I mean, some of them are that the buyer doesn't want to pay for it themselves, so you're making the seller. But I mean, there are some that are Or maybe your insurance company's requiring it or something.
I think there's a real problem with some pumps in Columbia.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the classic utilities like gas, electric, and water, their termination point is the meter. Yeah, which is on your property. It's got a defined definition point.
You can measure it.
This is more ambiguous. It's where the tap is, and so that could be all the way almost on your neighbor's property.
Your neighbor's could be on your neighbor's easement.
Because the sewers run on one side of the street, so I do like the concept of taking it to the easement line, your property line, where. And then from there to the main is the city's responsibility.
I think a property line would be easy enough for everybody. And that's the way your homeowner policy would define it, as your property line.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that it's any different than a bad electrical connection that when you go to sell your house, I don't know if the city gets involved in those, but if you've got something hinky going on with your electrical, you're going to have to fix it before you sell
the wire going up to your meter is covered, the water line up to the meter is covered, the gas line is covered up to the meter. It's just downstream of the meter, but there is no meter on the sewer. So, but it is usually the other utilities are on property, whereas the sewer connection into the main is not on your property many times.
Many times.
And it could be on your neighbor's property.
And the city wouldn't be forced to repair all bad sewer connections.
Well, and if you
repair the ones that fail.
Now, if your laterals failed from your property line up to your home, that's fully your responsibility.
Yes.
But if the connection happens on somebody else's property, you don't have any control over what they do on their property that might put it at risk.
True. They might refuse to let you repair it.
Yes, right. They might refuse to let you repair it.
If it's not an easement, they're kind of bound to let the city repair it.
No. It's got to be an easement.
That's what I'm saying. If it's
can't go
easement,
in on private property.
No, if the connection is theoretically then the easement, you guys have the right to go in there and fix it.
Are all connections an easement?
Things private common collectors and Bill can tell you about. And are we going to take responsibility for those in the right of way as well?
No.
Right. Aren't there projects that have never come to fruition because some property owners won't participate?
They will not participate.
Yeah, my recommendation dealt with only public sewers.
Yeah, and I think that's what we should define.
Only public sewers and only.
The private common collector is a whole different recommendation we could make.
I would like to hear, I don't know if Dave's not here tonight, but knowledge of other municipals and how they're handling that. Where do they stop in maintenance and ownership of the sewer line? Are they similar to what City of Columbia is doing, or are they doing something different?
I would tell you that probably there's a court case out there that says that it's the other way, it's yours.
It's the city's.
That's what this thing from the Bill City says.
Well, if it's in the street right away, most of it's yours.
But if it's an easement, it's on the owner's property.
Yeah.
The city has a right to go in there and correct it, but... Right, I mean,
but right now the city policy is that it's not our responsibility.
Yeah, right,
that's right.
So I don't think that's blocking us from making this recommendation that Bill wants to make.
It'd be nice to know what it's going to cost us $100,000 a year, $6 million a year.
Right. Well, it has to be cost benefit analysis because
it's going to be a long time before you get them all. You'll never get them
off. Well, you start with just doing the ones that fail.
Yeah.
And the ones in the areas you're working at.
Yeah, I don't think we need to proactively just pick a subdivision and start fixing taps. I don't think anybody's saying
that. I think it should
that.
Be based on, you know, which we'll get to the recommendation, this recommendation, the same as Bill has here for replacement rehabilitation, but when they go in and rehabilitate a line, that's when they do the connection point modifications at the same time.
And those are approved by council. And
whether
Dave
that's
said
a line replacement or lining or whatever, up to the easement, that's the change at that point in time. So the rehabilitation program would pay for that through rate adjustment.
Right now the bond is paying for it, and they are, from what I understood from Dave, they are fixing any of those connection points. Mm-hmm. Now, whether they're lining the laterals, we don't know. But
right. I think they're lining the laterals.
Yeah, but they are fixing the connection points, which is a significant...
Right. Some of the connection points.
Some of them. Some of them are bad.
Well, what do you think are bad?
Pardon?
As long as you think they're bad.
Well, you can physically.
But whether or not, whether or not they're responsible or not, even if they are responsible, they're not going to fix one they don't think's bad. So just saying they're responsible for it's not going to make them.
I'm saying you look at the connection and think it's good and it's bad.
Well, where do you stop then? You might as well just pick a random neighborhood and start fixing taps.
Yeah, I'll fix every connection, clay connection to a clay line.
Yeah, but the customer's got a lateral that's stuffed on. Obviously, you don't need to take their reline their line. You need to maybe do the connection to the clay pipe. But
Portland, Oregon's got a program where they make an air tested lateral.
Who does?
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, Portland, Oregon, okay.
On a new installation?
No, for
an existing installation for I&I?
For
new construction, they just make
new construction, or use an old lateral. You gotta air test it or replace it. There's not really any way to air test a lateral. So, you know, you dig at both ends of it. It's not gonna air test.
You gotta put plumber plugs in both ends.
The existing lateral is not gonna air test. So, you just end up replacing it, which controls your I&I.
As much as I just want to go forward and just say Bills is right, I think you're going to have to do the cost of service, see how much it's going to cost. So I'm kind of, me personally, what I would say is let's kind of start with the first sentence of Katrina's and say,
an idea of what it's going to cost.
Yeah, let's see what the cost is. And
well, that's probably a true statement for any of the financial recommendations that we're making. Unless it's pretty, it's a small dollar value. If it's a significant dollar value, a financial assessment has to be done to determine. You'd have to do that anyway to determine what the rate recommendation would be.
And council wants that done.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're going to have to do it for the rate recommendation, but I guess at that time they could go back on it, but.
So, okay. So I'm.
There's a. It's a very subtle difference. I understand that.
Right. I guess I'm thinking of them as more a process. I mean, there is a difference. So this idea of the cost-benefit
thing about
analysis,
if you say, sorry.
It's all right.
If you say, let's do a study and see if it makes sense cost-wise for us to do it, essentially saying,
yeah.
No,
we only
want to not get it.
We only want to fix this problem if it makes sense, if we can raise the rates enough to handle it, which is a valid point, but I don't know, never mind. I lost my train of thought. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm fully okay with taking out the part about doing the study and putting that into what Bill has already written. I think what he wrote was better than my last two sentences that I added anyway, so.
Well, I guess I think that it's fine to say we know this study needs to be done so that we can figure out the scale of cost, but we also think that this is a likely outcome and an outcome that we want.
I agree with what you said.
Right. So the now I'm trying to figure out where to put these. Do we split them up between financial policy and operational, and we are going to need to do that.
I would consider that more operational, less policy.
Okay.
Policy is where you're going to define your start and stop points, and and that kind of ties into the financial.
Okay.
So, yeah, to me, it's the financial category.
And the lateral through easement. An agreement on that?
To the easement line.
Of course, there are some cases where there's huge easements, long laterals, but in general, I think that's a good place to start. Yeah, let's just say to the easement.
Okay. And then individuals with long laterals can argue about that.
Splitting through my line. Splits through to my backyard.
Well, I'm just thinking sometimes.
Because I got a main running through my backyard.
Sometimes just by the way you plat it, it's a sanitary and drainage easement, and it's a 70-foot wide easement in the backyard, and, you know, you just happen to have 60-foot of lateral going through the easement, you know, just by the way.
Right.
But, let's
we'll just don't do that.
We'll just build two.
Too late.
Two public mains on each side.
Okay. All right. Can we talk about the third one, Katrina?
Well, I didn't realize Bill had already written a recommendation related to the point of sale.
Okay.
So I think the only difference that I see with them was that Mr. Sorrell's document also talked about the rental inspection piece of it, that it would essentially be two different programs. There would be one for the that would be included as part of the rental inspection program provided by the Office of Neighborhood Services every 3 years, roughly. And then I think Bill's recommendation 1B picks up the sale of the property recommendation. Does that make sense?
Okay.
I guess the only thing I would say about that as someone with some rental property is it means that people with rental property are much more accountable than
everybody else.
Than everybody else, yeah. Because you would be, of course, there's a point of sale with rental property too, so it would be inspected at that point, and then every 3 years. Because the way the rental inspection works is you do hire somebody, a property owner hires somebody independently to do the HVAC, which is a very clear health and safety issue. But the city inspectors do the rest of the inspection. So would this be adding?
As I understood what Mr. Sorrell wrote, this would be part of the Office of Neighborhood Services' actual inspection. So it wouldn't be a cost to the owner unless a repair was needed.
So the city would be doing the inspection.
That was my understanding of the way it was written.
Okay, that works.
I think every 3 years seems pretty...
It seems like a lot.
That's a lot.
Well, it's actually really only every 6 years. You just have to have your HVAC inspected literally every 3 years.
I think a sewer inspection every 6 years would be adequate.
Yeah,
for point of sale, that probably sold this year. Mm. And sold next year, you only really use the previous year's inspection.
You're right. There could be some sort of rule so you don't have to do that.
Once every 6 years.
Yeah.
To match the rental property regulations.
So with the smoke testing, what's the follow-up on that when you see, because they're finding illegal connections during this I&I work, and so... By the time if this ever gets implemented, could it implement it? Well, okay, it's not going to be moot, but you're notifying homeowners as you find those illegal connections. Mm-hmm. So some of these folks will already have been notified. Whether or not they did it is another question.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's been another tool to identify II.
Yeah. Interestingly, since we've started working on this, I've had my... a smoke test in my yard with smoke blowing through, and we had an electrical line snapped off by a clay pipe.
We're saying that these tests every 6 years are being done only upon rental properties?
That's the...
Right.
But on private... But
so basically we're going to fix all the rental properties in Columbia, but not the private ones?
Only if the private home is sold. But what it doesn't define here is who pays for it. Is it the person buying a property or the person selling a property? Is it a condition?
That would be negotiated.
Yeah. And is it only the point of sale? Is the reason why we're
yeah, it can. It should only be upon the it should only be upon the a sale.
What was driving the rental property specifically? Just because they already have to have inspections, and so this was just easy to tag this inspection on the other ones? Okay.
Picking on somebody else, yeah.
Right. David mentioned it in his report, but I didn't mention my recommendations.
I would keep them one and the same, because someone owns that property. Now, if that's a public facility owned by some public entity, yeah, they could have more frequent inspections. But if it's a private held rental property, why is it different than a privately held home? Why is the rental owner required to do it more frequently?
Yeah, I think that's picking. Yeah, that's.
It's to fair. Me, it should be the same. Well, that property sold, that's when it's
completed. Right, upon point of sale.
Sure. And wouldn't there be an unintended consequence of what you just
Absolutely.
Said? Then there would be lots of focus on.
Yeah, all rental properties have great sewer laterals and, and a bunch of broke landlords.
Who can't afford to fix their own private problems. But they don't have to.
Well,
I'm just saying, I think it should
be
one and the same. If you're going to inspect, rental. Rental, then you ought to, then that's fine. But I think all the personal property owners need to have theirs done every six years too.
Yeah, I think it'd be better if it's just the same as private. Just when the property sale is when it occurs, and
right.
corrections need to be done if the seller doesn't correct
them.
Well,
it's easy to track at point of
sale.
The buyer
has to put money in escrow to get it fixed, and then they can.
Right.
Are there different levels of inspection? Like I can see an inspector making sure a sump pump isn't
right.
going directly into the sewer, and that's not an onerous cost to fix. I mean, you shouldn't
I don't
be doing
necessarily
that,
disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Downspouts are easy.
Yeah, downspouts and sump pumps are one thing, but sewer laterals
right now,
are
something.
Well, I believe that's what it's talking about.
Yeah,
it's talking
right.
about the identifying the illegal connections of downspouts and sump pumps.
Okay.
That's
as long as I'm,
to.
I was going to say, I'm reading, as long as I'm reading it right.
It's
as long
talking,
as that's it.
This is not talking
not,
about the lateral.
But doesn't
this
it say
separate.
Et cetera?
I took that straight out of yeah. Dave Sorrell's document.
Yeah. Well, right
et cetera is a very small acronym that could mean a very large amount of
money. To my knowledge, there is no mandated inspections on sale of the property. That's a choice of the home buyer or the seller.
That's right.
So this would be a mandated inspection program.
How do you do that?
I would think it'd have to go to a vote.
Second line.
Get
right.
Yeah, how do you do that? Would it be a vote?
I would assume so.
Would it be a vote?
Inspection cost without...
Be a condition hooked on the sewer. Condition of having the sewer service.
Oh, a condition of having the sewer service.
Yeah.
Like the sidewalk. They were looking at sidewalk point of sale as well, fixing the sidewalk.
Okay.
Because the sidewalk is the responsibility
Oldie
of the homeowner,
the
just like the lateral is.
Right.
So they were looking at an ordinance for fixing sidewalks, fixing these things.
It's important to have something that triggers it. The city's not triggering the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
The homeowner is triggering the inspection by putting the property for sale.
Well, they're triggering it if it's a mandated inspection, but right now there's no mandate to do an inspection on anything you sell.
But you've got to get your utilities turned on. It
Correct.
Could be
the new buyer has to turn the utilities
yeah.
on.
And at that point, they've lost their ability to negotiate.
That's where you could
correction of it.
Correct it. In order to connect to a new connection, you have to prove that you don't have I&I.
If the city's already got authority to go into the house and inspect, then
boy, we're going to be so popular.
Yeah, search warrant for the
yeah, this is a, I don't think so.
I don't know when we've ever done that.
You could.
I think this one requires a little bit more discussion.
Could,
yeah.
Just,
I agree, too.
Well, with all the... press on the I&I work, no, I can't imagine there's too many people that would be surprised. I mean, people are getting smoke tested, it's been the front page of the Trib, and,
yeah, but then,
and all of that.
Yeah, but you're mandating, you're forcing someone to do that. Inspection.
But as we smoke test, we're not asking, can we smoke test? We're smoke testing, and then if
no,
they find
the
illegals,
line.
They...
We're smoke testing our lines.
Well, it's coming out of my... It's coming out of my flu, my... Whatever
you smoke's
sure
in your living room?
You know, the illegal connections are state law. You can't do
illegal.
It.
Yeah.
They're illegal.
So I don't see a problem with requiring that at the point of sale. Is that what we're arguing about?
Well, part of the work of a task force is to make recommendations that can actually be implemented. But another part of our work is to sort of raise issues and put out the sort of range of possible responses to it. This might be a good one to sort of push that boundary a little bit of something that we know the city needs to do, and here we're introducing the idea of what that might look like.
At my neighborhood association meeting, annual ice cream thing Sunday, we'd just gone through smoke testing a couple weeks ago, and the neighbors were having all these conversations about, you know, the smoke testing, and a couple of neighbors said, I had no idea my downspouts were illegal, you know, had illegal connections. And they're lining up people to take care of it.
Right.
I mean, no one's, like, freaking out that the city's making them do that.
Well, the reality is, you know, you're talking about the, in the rental inspection, that's just a catch it the first time around. Once it's caught, it's not like, you know, in another 6 years, you're going to connect your downspouts in your sump pump. And if it's something that the rental owner is not having to pay for every 6 years, then I don't know that it matters.
You have limited other people making decisions.
That's your house. Used to, those, what today is illicit used to be legal.
Right.
But it's been illegal for since 1962 or something, right?
Right now, when there's a deficiency identified through the smoke test and you notify the property owner, what's the obligation?
It's to get it disconnected.
And
you know, we will participate if you follow in the program.
And there's a certain amount of time?
A certain amount of time. If you don't take action, we do send you to court.
Okay.
I can see it as a condition of connecting to utilities, but just to force someone to do it, unless it was found through inspection, but the city did, but to force someone to inspect and fix just to sell their property is a challenge. And the new home buyer takes that liability on.
Right, and you wouldn't have to be a very sophisticated buyer to understand that you'd want that inspected as part of your negotiation for the property.
Sure. So you put that burden back on the seller and say, no, I'm not taking that property unless I know that I don't have any liabilities on I&I.
Right. Yeah.
And so really the home buyer, if they think they have to correct it, will pay to have the inspection done on their own just by making a condition to check connected utilities.
It's not prohibitively expensive to disconnect downspouts. Mm. I mean, it's not $5, but, you know, it's not thousands of dollars.
What a city ordinance. I mean, how do you implement this? I mean, this goes into the Missouri Realtors Association.
Well, that's where I'm saying politically it's going to go to the Realtors Association and die at the end.
What an ordinance.
One of the things.
In property, you got to fix it.
Right.
One of the things you might consider is having the city, when people come in and turn on their utilities, give them a document that says, hey, did you just buy a home? Did you check this out before you buy? These are illegal disconnects. Could do an educational type program on what you're all talking about,
mm-hmm.
given it when people turn on their utilities or
those
kind of things, especially on single family homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't have to do it on apartments and those kind of things, but single family homes.
It wouldn't be a brand new home because that would have been inspected. It would have been an existing home.
We've had new homes have them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I feel like in any non-residential type stuff, this will be addressed or could be addressed or should be addressed whenever you go to pull in a building permit. You already have to check your connection. So I feel like it's more of a residential thing. And I hate to, like Greg was saying, it just feels kind of weird to mandate, you know, just based on you wanting to sell your property on something that could have been legally done before you, even way before you did own the property. And now it's, you have to get an inspection. And then if there is something wrong, you have to pay to do it. And I know it's not a whole lot of money, but it's still, it's...
I do like the educational thing, because I think if home buyers were educated to know that they're liable to fix any problems, their illegal connections, they're going to be proactive to make sure those are corrected before they take on that property.
Because that's a huge percent of the problem with the whole people just don't know.
No.
Right.
The problem is when you're going to turn your utilities on, you've already purchased the property.
But if the homeowners or the home buyer is going to start raising that as a question, the home sellers are going to realize, I need to get those corrected before I put my property up for sale.
That's where
the board just not disclose it on the disclosure statement, which happens all the time.
And that's the deal, they would go back on the disclosure statement.
Yeah, put yourself in the position of the person that's getting the backup, like Katrina was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to put that on the disclosure too, so...
You got very little sympathy to somebody that root drain connected to the sewer.
And the point of sale just is a mechanism for catching some of these before they've bought the house and said, you know, I've got a what. And then, like Katrina said, it's a one-time deal, assuming that someone actually does it when they're supposed
to. And then doesn't revert it back to
it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
It's gone. And the city's going to be catching some anyway as they move through the different basins.
Yeah.
I can see the city not even could propose not even charging for inspection. Just an inspection for nothing.
I mean, took like 5 minutes when they came to my door to look to check my, well, pre-smoke testing when they did the.
When you don't want to disturb somebody for not doing it because they don't want to pay for it, do it for nothing.
Okay. All right. I think that what we've been talking about aligns with 1B in the total document draft. And got a list of ideas. Is it okay to sort of flesh that out? And we'll okay.
What do we think? Like, do we want to just like not anything formal, but just like in general, what does the task force feel about point of sale inspections? I mean, we talked about it, so I think everybody kind of has an idea of what that means. Like, to continue on with refining these recommendations, I just kind of wanted to, I was curious on what the task force thought. Are we generally in favor of point of sale or are we not?
I agree with point of sale at the easement line. I think that makes sense because of the fact that the sewer could be not even on your, the tap connection could not be on your property.
At the easement.
And it might not even be in the right of way. It might be on your neighbor's property. So, well, but the easement is a stopping point that's on your property and you can have control over.
But we're talking about point of sale in terms, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of INI and the just the downspout and sump pump connections, right?
Nothing else?
Well, not the lateral.
I mean,
not
it does
the lateral.
Say, it
not
does
the quality of the
it
lateral.
It does say, in Dave's report, it does say INI, and it does say inspection of the sewer lateral. Mm. So, I mean, that means like TV. I mean, that seems to me like the whole nine, not just illicit connection. It means inspecting the lateral for condition.
I have a
the
real,
way it was written.
Real dearth of knowledge about how that works. I mean, are inspection companies ready and have the capacity to
do
that? Do
you have a TV?
We had it done.
I'm starting an inspection company if that's the case.
Okay.
We had it done when we did our inspection. We had the whole sewer lateral.
Right.
Most
just cameras.
Most people do.
Okay.
Do
lateral.
Like you're buying an older home and you know that the there's a possibility you could have older pipe.
And you mentioned that the Board of Realtors would be just so thrilled with these ideas.
It just wouldn't happen.
It just wouldn't happen. What does that mean, it wouldn't happen?
It would, I mean, what,
I think
you're
they would
go
just
to the
be
state
a huge political...
The, you know.
Right.
There was a big uproar when they just this report came out. There was a lot of, if I remember right, there was articles and
it
people
just more
crying
work
bloody murder.
For that.
The Board of Realtors and the home inspectors don't want anything to get in the way of a sale.
That's right.
I went to the inspector's annual meeting here in town when I was still working in the city. I told them that the ordinance said that the homeowner was responsible for the connection at the main. I told them that the city will inspect that connection for nothing. Just call me and we'll look at it. If there's a city report, and get one call. Not one.
Well, we can recommend whatever, regardless of what we think will actually happen to it as it goes forward, kind of like I said, Tracy. It's just that.
It might not be the political will, but the authoritative will to make it happen.
Well,
but you got enough people with back more in their basement that you need to do something.
From both the position as of a buyer and a seller, I would sure like to have someone to split those, that remediation with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, for a consumer, that's a good time.
The reason I like to take it to the easement is that you think about when you buy a property, you don't envision that the sewer is 75 feet down there by your neighbor's rose bush. And so you're thinking I'm responsible for the utilities on my property. And so suddenly the city comes knocking on your door and says, oh, by the way, your connection is bad. You're going to have to spend
$20,000
to replace that whole section of line. You're not going to be happy. I mean, it seems like...
It does happen.
And so the homeowner's just not thinking about that when they buy a home. To think more of what's on their property, what they have control over. That's why I kind of like the easement line. But I do realize over time that's an additional cost to the city, but it doesn't have to incur immediately. No. It can go incrementally over time in order to take that over and transfer that ownership as repair work is done in the neighborhood or a new neighborhood goes in. Obviously, that's well-defined.
Okay. So who wouldn't think that was a good idea? Like, is there a group or...
Realtors.
I could see it be spun as a positive as a realtor. Now, if you require the inspection, as a mandated inspection for sale of property, the realtors will probably be upset with that.
Well, banks require an inspection, don't they? The banks
that require inspection. Nobody says you can't sell the property.
Not of the sewer, just general inspection, not of the sewer. Nobody requires
only if you're getting a lien on the property, if you're being cash.
And what if it's for sale by owner?
That's true.
Because nothing's happened.
I said they're going to record it.
Who buys with cash?
A lot of people do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Are we recommending just downspouts and sump pumps, or are we also saying downspouts, sump pumps, and laterals?
I like downspouts and sump pumps.
Yeah.
That's certainly the easier one.
If you throw laterals in, it gives them a step to back up to.
Right. But isn't that a slightly different issue than the recommendation that the city take over to the easement?
It is a different recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes a difference. What do we want to word it, assuming that the city will eventually take over in the easement and right away? Or do you just want to make the recommendation based on the responsibilities that the homeowner has now, all the way to the through the connection?
You have to do what they got now.
Well, I think that's why we could proactively say we like the point of sale, but this is only assuming that the city is responsible for everything inside the easement right away. We don't really like the thought of point of sale and the owner being responsible for improvements where they have to dig up the road, you know?
Right.
True.
Okay.
Can we just make them separate recommendations and then see which one sticks? Like the simple downspout sump pump inspection at point of sale.
It's a sure violation.
I think they are two different things, two different topics, because one's where the ownership of the sewer line starts and stops, and right now it's the tap point.
Yeah.
I think the general consensus in Creek River on is that that doesn't seem quite fair, because the sewer could be anywhere, you know, close or away from that property, so it makes sense for that be part of the city's ownership, so it's consistent no matter where you buy your property, you know where your start and stop point is. Your comment, I think, has to do with correcting those INI issues due to downspouts running into the sewer line, which is a little bit different, which is fully the owner's responsibility to correct.
And that's not a problem, and that's small, but if you go to a first-time home buyer and say, hey, you have to dig up a public street to fix your private line, and here's how much it's going to cost, mm-hmm. they're going to say, well, we're going to go buy houses on the other side of the street.
Yeah, if you buy a property,
that's what's going to happen.
It's the maple tree in the front yard just torn up. That's your responsibility. People can understand that. But.
I think that's a good recommendation.
But, I mean, it can't happen overnight. I mean, it's going to happen incrementally. And as the city updates and repairs lines, they may have to repair laterals up to the easement if necessary.
Yeah, so that would have to be part of the recommendation.
Correct.
I mean, for me, I'd be willing to support it if that was a condition of it, only to the easement. But I'm still a little uncomfortable with it. But I would definitely be a lot harder for me to get behind if we just didn't have any condition on anything, and just the way it is now, their point of sale inspection, and you're responsible to fix anything all the way to the connection point. That seems like something I probably wouldn't want to say.
I agree.
Okay. Alright. Are you good with this?
Yeah, sure.
She said, yep. She said, so what's the lateral?
All right. Gregor, is there other
things? Well, this first recommendation that I had on here is really the same as Bill's 1A expanded, and Bill put in that $3 million a year, and I kind of took what Dave Sorrell had recommended and drafted something up for discussion, but instead of just picking a specific dollar value, I think he had suggested 1%. That could be a different percentage, but 1% would replace approximately 7 miles a year. It'd take 100 years to get the whole system done, but eventually the life of the system, we normally knows how long, but we all know that the clay tile is about gone, and no one really knows how long the ductile is going to last. No one really knows how long the PVC is going to last. So at least it creates a mechanism to start an organized replacement of the sewer system so it stays in good condition. And right now, I think the capital plan that they have doesn't cover enough of that in order to make that happen.
Well, it sounded like with this bond, he kind of liked where he was at, but that wasn't
the
a permanent funding.
It's not permanent funding. This would, what I would recommend is the rate be adjusted. It doesn't have to happen in one side. That's why I used the word graduated, so that they could get to that point where they're replacing a certain percentage, replacing or rehabilitating. If necessary, you have to replace it, but every year, so that you're keeping your system in decent condition. It doesn't get deteriorated to the point where it becomes a crisis.
This is kind of a sidebar question, but I'd like to know, like, and Cody, you might even know this, or maybe not, but what percentage of the system is clay and ductile and PVC?
I think Dave said somewhere almost 60% was
clay.
That's
kind of what I remember him saying.
Wow. Somewhere in the 75 to 100 years old.
That's hard to start with.
Some of them we don't even know.
And it has a joint every, 10 feet? And so
and when you repair a little piece of it, then it's the next crack right down the road.
So, I mean, we wouldn't even get to the ductile of the PVC.
Right.
Not in our lifetime.
Even the youngest at the table.
The rate increase, are we recommending, we're not recommending a figure because I know that, but can, what are thoughts on specifying that it be like an index rather than a flat figure, a flat increase? I want to see the city start getting more, getting away from flat rate increases and using an index because, of the by the time they implement it, it's obsolete. And then, you know, like with stormwater 20 years ago, we raised the rate. Well, good heavens.
The city sewer does not have a board or commission, so if they want to increase rate, they take it to council. Do they have to go to vote in public, or can council approve rate increase?
Operating can be approved by council if you do a CIP.
Right. So if they establish this program and say they need to raise the rates 5% initially, then over time, if they need increase, they can go back to maintain it and increase. But it's a demonstration of need to council, not to the voter public. So I think that kind of answers the question. It can incrementally adjust. They just have to go back to council for approval. Because it's not a sales tax. It's a
operating
and
it's a user fee.
It's a user fee.
I believe they get $20 a foot to line 8-inch pipe. You line 7 miles of 8-inch pipe for $813,000.
How much did you say it was?
$813,000.
For how? Well, what was the figure?
Seven miles.
7 miles of 8-inch pipe.
Yeah, that's lining it. But if you start thinking about the laterals and it is a clay in good condition,
so you're talking $2 million a year.
Could be something of that nature. I like the idea of just doing a percentage, whether it's 1% or 2% or whatever the number is, because it's evergreen. It's always going to stay at whatever percentage of the system based on the anticipated life of the pipe we're putting in the ground.
And the system's always growing.
Correct. Right. And so it's going to increase
so inflation.
Of course, the new system hopefully will be all
100 years. Is
PVC, but we don't know how long the PVC is going to last.
What day is
the joint
liners
all
last?
All the
60 years?
Or they taps are on there and on their side.
They don't do restrained joints on sewer lines. Their joints aren't restrained. There's the belts figured without restraint.
Maybe a creek crossing.
So anywhere with the lateral forces, you'd restrain it.
You yellow iron.
So are we comfortable with this recommendation, Bill, replacing your 1A?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The second one is the one on the computer model that Dave Sorrell talked about. They had the software that just needed to push to get it done, and we're helping them push.
You might, on the first recommendation, you might put just approximately 1%.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We could say 1 to 2% if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Let's do 1 to
2. Okay.
You had to make 1 a minimum.
The only thing I saw on the second one is at the first sentence, recommends the city computer model both. So would we want to speak to whether they hire a private consultant to do that? Or
I don't think we want to dictate how that is accomplished. Like, they can decide whether they want to hire an in-house engineer or staff to do it or hire a consultant. So I don't think that's really our choice on how that is completed. It's just we recommend it's done because of the value that it brings.
But
do we need a timeline then? That it's done within a certain amount of time? Or because they know they need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They've already been kind of charged with the task. Yeah.
But he's bringing us back cost of the fee to do the...
He was going to make a couple calls.
And then is that...
But to me, it's in the dollar value that's within the operating budget. They should be able to put that in their operating budget or their capital budget. Obviously, getting it started may be a capital investment, or they may choose after he looks at it well, say, this might be better since I have to maintain it, that I add engineering staff or technicians to my staff just to do this. And so it's all operating costs. So I don't think we want to necessarily dictate.
Although he did mention that maintaining it was a much less significant commitment than implementing it in the first place.
But because I deal with a lot of operational things, is that you may have a need for a technician for like half FTE.
Right.
And think, well, if I go ahead and just get a full-time person, then they cover this task plus this new task, and it's just an operational expense. I don't have to outlay a capital expense in order to get it going. So that's just a suggestion. I would like to hear what the cost was to have a consultant do it, but I mean, it may be more cost-effective to have it in that.
Yeah, I agree with you completely about leaving it, just not speaking.
Right, to how it's funded, just basically it needs to be.
So do you see this fitting in somewhere with the existing, with the main draft, or is it something we add on here?
I think just get added to Bill's list if this could be the main draft. It's an operational suggestion.
Yep. Right. Okay, great. All right, how are we doing on time here? It's 8:35. Do you want to, should we power through the rest of one? And then I do want to share a couple pieces and talk briefly about what information we need to inform ourselves to have the funding and development fee conversation before we break. Does that work to try and get through D, E, and F?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And G.
And G.
So, well, back to C.
no.
Sorry. All right, I mean, we can just come back to it. But there's a lot of stuff there in C that...
Yeah.
It needs to be abbreviated.
Yeah. It's kind of lengthy.
So, taking out this section 22-216.
Yes.
Do we need... I'm sorry?
Leave that out.
More
we
for
can
informational purposes
okay.
for us to consider, but not for...
Yeah. It's valuable information. I just... Okay. D.
D. Bill, is this yours? Do you want to say something about it? Or?
I think a city ought to evaluate how this could be done.
What's
some interconnection can be.
What's the acronym?
That's the Boone County.
Rural district.
Regional. Okay. I just couldn't remember.
Right now, there's no incentive at all for Boone County Regional Sewer District through the city to use I&I.
So that's what it's based on, is the need for the sewer district to focus on its I&I?
Right.
And increase the revenue, because the city treats this water that they're discharging in the city system.
Does the district have accurate water metering?
No.
Because you could have your own local well, but it could be connected to the sewer, so you may not have a...
I don't have
it. Were you suggesting they actually meter the flow in the pipes?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that the charge to the sewer district is based on the water meters, but you're saying we charge the sewer district based on the flow that we metered, which to me is a great idea in theory, but it seems like it might be very expensive. And I feel like Dave was saying it wasn't real accurate right now for putting flow meters in sewer pipes just due to the solids.
You use proximity basin. In other words, you're not doing non-contact flow meters, you're just measuring the distance using a transmitting device and to determine the flow. There's no solids won't impact it. I mean, essentially, you move it through a weir and you measure the distance from the bottom of the pipe to the top of the pipe. If it's half full, you'll know it's, you just calculate the volume based on that.
And how many connection points did they say there were? 90 or something? How expensive are those things?
122.
So, I mean, that's a lot of those meters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very expensive. I don't know.
Are they very expensive?
Now, if you fill the pipe, you don't know what your velocity is, but
I'm just saying the city ought to investigate.
But we know they're full.
I definitely like what you're saying, investigate the possibility.
I think it should be investigated. I think it is difficult to measure, but it's not impossible.
Okay. So maybe just add investigate or something. I don't know. I like you're saying we need to do this, but it's also like I don't have any idea of what we're telling them to do as far as
cost-wise, how
effective it is and all that.
So
are most of these connected through a pump station, or are they connected by gravity?
I think Dave said about a third of them were pump stations.
Pump station, because it'd be easier to measure through a pump station.
Yeah, it's easier on a pump.
Because you just measure the head across the pump and then you can calculate the flow, but...
You could look at those, study those, and see what percentage of I&I versus actual water meter flow, what the difference is.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think it's a good recommendation to have them look into it.
That would be something that would also be very easy to pilot to see how effective it was. And
that's true.
Will the sewer district be surprised at this recommendation?
No.
Okay.
They've already been asked.
Okay.
We're going to start. Any new agreements will have all that in it.
I see. Okay. Very good. But having the recommendation will still be useful.
Great.
Yep. Okay. Good.
Keep that one.
Yeah. And is this a policy or is this an operational sort of recommendation? Because I can see it being both.
The operational, I think.
Should be policy. It should be a new policy that's in all agreements.
It's policy.
Okay.
So, but it could be operational for existing, for sure.
Okay. E.
I sure remember that. Retirement home that built up on the hills above Kim's house. Mm-hmm. They had a mix up on what I was going to impact the sewer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that.
Is this one on form?
Chapel Hill.
Oh, about Chapel
Hill. County house.
Provision living.
Yeah.
I think all projects ought to.
I mean, they said it had sewer capacity, but what that means, I don't know that downflow.
I agree with that. I think that if you're going to put development in, you need to calculate what you're, and then it needs to be verifiable by a third party, and the city can review it.
So you've got this I&I thing, so there's plenty of capacity in the line. It's the times there's not capacity is
when
it's wet weather. Yeah. And what and why should I be subject to all the rain and all the
when it's really not a capacity issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a capacity
issue.
But it is to if you're going to connect. So I mean, if it,
right.
But if you're building a new development, it shouldn't have any I-9. It should be all trick sewer. You agree with that?
Yeah.
So you need to calculate the total impact to the sewer. The city, with their model they would create, could then impact and analyze it with and without the I-9 to the rest of the system. And they may say, we can't handle that because of
the I-9. Right.
And they may disagree and not allow it to develop that area unless something else is done.
I think you have to look at it just as a courtesy to your existing customers. You can't overload them more.
Right. You're creating another problem with the new development. You're just kicking it upstream.
It would be insignificant, though. If you're saying it's a new development, it doesn't have any I&I, it's not contributing to the I&I problem. And the base flow is so small compared to the I&I.
It still can, if you're marginal right now with I&I, then you add another large subdivision, you may just kick it in. And it still has to be analyzed.
Yeah. Well, that's really taking a very small piece and blaming all everything on them for all everything that's already taken place, though. I mean,
I'm not being blamed for saying they can't build.
That sounds like blaming them to me.
But I think the point that Kim is making is that, you know, they're already having these problems, and you add to it when you add more development to it. And so that it does become a bigger problem than just...
So I mean, we're just going to stop building?
The development community
no.
wants to hear.
Well, we had asked for a pump station, a lift station, to circumvent the problem line, which the I&I should address, but, it, you know, when. And that their response was, the city didn't tell us we had to do that. Of course, at this point, they're, you know, halfway done with construction.
But they already had public
zoning. They already had zoning. We didn't have, you know.
It
but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, same issues downtown, I guess. But.
Yeah.
It's almost like denying a public service to a property owner. And mm-hmm. there's like Missouri Commission requirements. You have to provide the service almost. I mean, I know you have the capacity thing.
If you don't have the capacity,
I feel like
you can't provide it.
But you have to provide it. Like, don't you? Isn't that part of like...
I don't think so.
What's the Missouri
inside the
utility...
City. Not if you're annexing, but...
Public Service Commission. Isn't that part of like... You're supposed to provide services to people if they ask for it. I mean, I guess the city's saying, yeah, we will. You just got
to You're going to have to wait for 50
there.
Years or whatever until we can actually
it
afford to.
It's the same thing as you have a critical downstream location on stormwater. You had to fix the pipe down there where the water could flow through it or hold it on your system.
But you can accomplish that on your property because you give the developers a way.
Stormwater management.
You can do the same thing with sewer. You can have a storage device that will hold it when it's raining and not allow it to go out.
Well, that's interesting.
I like the recommendations. I think it just, I know it may not be favorable to the development committee, but you have to understand the load that's being added. And the city has to come back and analyze it and say, can that be done? And if it can, great. If it can't, then what has to be done in order to make that happen? Either upsize pipe or put in storage or whatever to make that happen.
So we have that now, Cody. We have places where we don't have capacity, and we tell people you've got to run a forced main 3 miles and cook it into this manhole over here, or you don't get to do it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So they're not really denying service.
We're not denying.
They're not denying
you have
the easy button. That's what they're doing.
So I have a very naive question. How is this idea related to sufficiency of service tests? Is that the same idea? Okay. Yes.
Do we need to say something where the period is, verify the project will not exceed sewer capacity, period? To me, that reads on that property. Do we need...
It's downstream also.
Or do you need to say... and then of course, then what do you...
It's not on the property.
How far away from the... I mean, what are you talking about?
It could be any distance.
Between where the project at and North Carolina plant.
It really is.
I'm sorry?
It's between where the property is at and the wastewater treatment plant.
I see, okay. Yeah.
And
anywhere
in between there.
Anywhere in the system.
Anywhere along that system.
Or wherever there's a bottleneck.
Well, or until you get to a point where the capacity can be tolerated or accommodated.
So,
with
so
the inclusion of the INI, not separate from the INI, I think is what you're trying to say is that, you know, basically we can't.
Well,
you're saying we can't ignore the fact
we
that.
We can't ignore INI until it's corrected, so it has to be part of the model and analysis. And if it means that that developer has to put in something to correct that, that's what is going to have to happen until that is approved. Because you can't just overtax a system and just say, I have the right to do that. No, that's not true. You have the right to connect, but you have to make sure that connection it will work.
So
to serve. Otherwise, you're going to cause problems to other.
Right.
Developments in other areas.
So does the recommendation need an edit to say something along the lines of in both wet weather and dry weather situations?
It should be all conditions based on the modeling of it. Well, that's
yeah, once the model's in place,
so in
once the model's in place, then you'll be able to add that development, take that development away, and see.
And you may want to specify, and this would be an engineering decision, but is it based on a 100-year flood?
Right.
I mean, what level of rainfall is it analyzed on? Not just, you know, the 500-year rain. I mean, it has to have a definition of what rain that is.
Mm-hmm.
So many inches an hour is how it's going to be analyzed in the model to determine or calculated.
I'm assuming there are sort of industry standards around what those models look like.
Most of the time you use historical averages.
Has anybody put in or had to put in storage? Before the
storage
on sanitary?
We've talked about it a couple of times, but I don't think it's ever happened.
What is that?
Storage of sewer on
storage.
Site.
Oh,
in
like
in
the
fact, the one up here at Hit and Broadway, that apartment complex.
The law.
What is that price
Zip
compared
Broadway?
To?
They considered it, or
it
was
right downtown.
Big
yeah.
Poop pool, right on 10th and Broadway.
I think one of the reasons we're meeting on this infrastructure thing is because development, right or wrong, has created challenges in our infrastructure.
Yes.
So to disregard that, it is we have to include it.
Is that expensive?
Well, I really like the option of
storage.
I mean, something that doesn't just say no. I mean, I just, from a development point of view, just saying no or the fixes so...
Cost it.
Yeah. Well, I think
you
give
it an
option.
Essentially, it's
you give
an no,
option
just, it's
to
just an undevelopable piece of property. But
right.
Yeah,
and what's that do
to
property values?
I like that idea of having an option maybe to do that. But I think once you see the models and you see the INI versus the regular flow, you're going to see that it's the INI is such a big problem. Like he was saying, it was 80 to 90 million gallons per day for
versus
weather
what,
versus
like 16
24
or something, yeah.
20
yeah, not
so
a dry
like
analysis
four,
is going to say it's fine,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean you should be able to develop there if
yeah.
INI will kick it to where there's sewers backing up. So I think that it has to be analyzed with a standard defined rainfall.
No, it's not always the case,
right, and if it doesn't meet that requirement and kicks it into surging, then the developer or property builder needs to put in.
But I mean, it's going to show it surging whether you're adding it to it or not, unless
you're
just right on the verge.
It's
right.
Surging.
Right.
Are the multifamily residential and non-residential development, are those sufficiently defined categories? And is that everything? I mean, you could put in.
Only thing I left out was single family residential.
Did you say any all non-single family developments? So you don't miss anything? Not that you weren't.
I think you're talking about subdivisions with multiple test points, right?
Yeah.
I'm just
not,
trying to figure out if the scale is right on that.
Yeah.
You can put in a very small.
A commercial development doesn't necessarily contribute more to sewer than a residential. Single family residential development.
And it's
you look at Walmart.
Right.
Yeah,
and they have
a grocery store, maybe more than a Walmart, but
it's part of the sewer plans and part of what the sewer utility has to provide to DNR. We do provide the projected flow on all developments right now. We definitely have talked about putting that into the analysis and do that analysis and how that impacts and all that. But just the way he has it written out, to me, that's already been done and it's already required.
Okay.
The way his recommendation is right now, to me.
I guess that's why I was wondering if it needs to be specified in terms of in wet weather situations, because that's what I was understanding too, is that this is already being done. So is the recommendation that it's flow based on wet weather?
Sewer capacity just means sewer capacity.
Sewer capacity.
But the flow part.
But the line could not, it's the capacity of that line in all conditions.
So when they figure sewer capacity, they're including wet weather situations and not just dry weather?
They should. I mean, under normal situation, sure, it's going to work, but it's the abnormal situation that you have.
And that's why they want the model. It really helped to see that.
It's not very hard to add the language in all conditions, including dry and wet weather.
Because the model is going to show from where that new connection is all the way to the treatment plant. Mm-hmm. And the pipe sizes change as you go from that point of connection and to see what impact it has.
And the type of pipe will change and then the infiltration
from all
will
the
change.
Way from that point.
Well, even the branches from that main path, because as the pressures change, you're going to change the whole system. So, I mean, one development over here could cause a problem clear on the other side of town.
They're going to change the gradient.
And so that's why you have to analyze the whole system. And no one wants to hear they had to put more to build that development there, but why should we create a problem that didn't exist before just because someone wants to develop the property to make some money? And we can't contribute to the problem, make it any worse than it already is.
So a person that builds single-family houses, is he a developer?
Well, what do you mean? Are you talking about the individual home builder?
About the individual home builder.
The guy that owns it?
Owns the lot and building the house. He's a developer, Tony.
I guess
so.
Or is he just a house builder?
I've never met a developer.
I think whoever puts the sewer main.
Yeah, I've always wondered. Who is this?
This developer cat.
Who is that developer? Because what is the? Who is that culprit?
They're the ones who wrote the $10,000 checks.
Okay. Well, whoever puts the sewer mains in, I mean, that's who's has to do the analysis based on. How much you anticipate having homes built on it? Not an individual home builder that's already just connecting to a main that's already planned for.
Well, no, I'm just asking a question. Is he a developer? He's developing the construction of the house.
So what? How is that? I'm trying to figure out how that's relevant. Like the Bureau of Economic Analysis says that there's an occupational category around development.
Oh, is it? You know, throughout the city, Tracy, there's undeveloped lots. And so that guy buys the lot and built a house. And so is he a developer? And hooks the house to the... Or is he just a house builder?
Wait.
And
why
is
he...
Well, is
that?
He...
Because you'd have to do the assessment for him, too.
Right.
Right, but we're not doing the assessment for based on people. We're talking about assessments based on projects that come in and the scale of the project, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We have to define that, not based on whether they're a builder or developer, but based on the number of either the water line connection or the number of sewer connections or whatever we define, that's what triggers this analysis to be performed.
Right, but the project is what is... informs the triggers and analysis. Not
so important. I guess another way to summarize it is it's non-residential.
No.
Not necessarily.
I think it's the person that taps the sewer. And in residential developments, the developer, the guy who built the public sewer, is installing all those cleanouts. Now, you might have a new residential lot that doesn't have a cleanout or an existing tap, and then they would be tapping the sewer main, and I guess maybe they would be required to, or I mean, it would kind of be go without. I mean, the city could easily figure out one house.
So when the tap occurs,
yeah,
it's when a collector comes in where you, I think, and it's more than one, obviously, but when you're adding a main,
or if it's a commercial development when you tap the line, yeah.
But we have to, if we're going to recommend it, I think we have to define. Wouldn't that trigger the analysis requirement?
Right, that's why I asked the question about is this the right definition for what what the trigger is. I mean, it's really projects.
Yeah, it's not.
You could, if you were putting in
multifamily or commercial, it's.
If you're putting in 500 single-family houses, you could have the same.
Sewer engineer's expertise. You know, when
is it insignificant?
When does he think that this should be done from his perspective? When does it become a problem? If it's a one or two homes, or is it 10 homes? I mean, what is?
Right.
Or is it one large apartment complex, or if it's a convenience store, probably not, but it just depends.
Right. So what's the scope?
So we can have some idea of where we define when it would trigger.
I think they'll always be doing it for every, even if it's a single house or if it's a huge development, because they're inserting it in the model, and they're going to have to look and see. So I think it's regardless of size, they'll have to look and see the impact on the model.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But is there an interim need until the model is available?
The person, the applicant, or the person wanting to tap would have to provide.
Have to do their own model. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do their own model.
Their own
maybe.
And calculations.
Their own calculations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, it's already, I don't think it's the developer's responsibility to do the analysis of the whole sewer system, just the total flow from their development to that system.
Yeah,
and then the city's going to have to analyze it either by their own calculations or modeling to determine the impact.
And that's already being done.
And then they come back, and that's already being done now. So the model just speeds that process up and allows them probably to go ahead and take a single development of convenience store and go and, you're good to go with a regular connection, or we're going to have to add something.
Okay, well, once again, we've had a super rich discussion, and I feel like tonight's been very productive, and yet still we're not very far into this. So I want to recommend that we table 2 in new business. For 2, I will send you out a set of links. Some of have come from people on the committee, and some of were recommendations from the public. And I would like to get some feedback on what you think it's useful for us as a task force to look at. And I think it's particularly important with the infrastructure funding and development fee conversation to make sure that we have a shared knowledge of different ways to go about those things. I think we're going to get a lot of input and questions around this issue, and I know some of you know a whole lot about this, but some of us who don't work in this area know less, and kind of get us into the same place, I hope.
I wanted to, just following up right on that, because I had, just before the meeting, and this is not fully thought through, but you told me to look at the traffic consultant, and I kind of went a little different direction, and I stole some wording from the Northeast Boone County Transportation Plan.
Excellent.
So I would just pass these around. We can just read them and talk about them next time. There's 3 different recommendations there. The first one is just the same wording that I emailed a month or so ago, and I haven't made any corrections that Bill had or anything. It was just kind of a placeholder. So just take that for what it was worth. And we had talked it through, and there were some wording changes that we talked about when we went through Bill's development fee recommendations. Mm-hmm. So nothing special about that. But the second 2 are the ones that were kind of have to do with that. And the second thing is, this is just a follow right along. This is what came out of that transportation plan, one of the tables they had that associated fees based on use or unit of development, which kind of follows some of the wording I have in my 2 recommendations. So, like I said, not fully thought out, probably, but I kind of liked the way I thought it was kind of heading.
Yes.
When you say feedback, we're not emailing feedback back.
We're not emailing feedback. No. Please.
This is way more transparent.
Please take a look at what Carol will send out, and just be prepared to talk about it next time. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're going to table comments by task force members or staff for this evening.
On the comments by the public there, are we we've had Mr. Clark and maybe some others there wanting to make comment during the meeting. It would seem that, I think we started out with all the public comments at the end of the meeting, and I guess it's published, that the agenda's published at the, and so published at the